Our guest today is Tim Graves of the Farmhands. They have a brand new album, Farmhands 4.0. There's a lot of excitement about this new album. 4.0 designates, to me, some changes. Not improvements, but just changes. I think Tim Graves is very excited about this album and the current makeup of the band and some of the selections that they've made for this album. It's on Pinecastle. Excellent album. The Farmhands always have excellent music. I just sense a little bit extra excitement about some changes, very subtle changes that have been made. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. Thank you, Tim, for being back on Unreal Bluegrass. To the listeners of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard a brand new song, great song, Circle of Wood, from the new Farmhands 4.0 album. Big fan of the Farmhands. And on the phone today, I have Tim Graves. It's been a while since Tim and I talked, but Tim, I'm so happy with this new Farmhands 4.0, and I'm so glad you're available to chat a little bit about it.
Well, I appreciate you calling me, Steve. It's that album is completely, I guess I can say, completely different than what we have been cutting, and that was my goal when we went in and cut it this time, you know, and the Circle of Wood, that's a wonderful cut. Yeah, I enjoyed singing that song.
Well, the Circle of Wood, for the listeners, I think most people understand if they hear it, and they just did. It has a couple different meanings, my way of looking at it. You know, it connects to the circle being broken, but it also connects to that circle of wood, which was taken from the Ryman as part of the continuation of the Grand Ole Opry.
That's right. It's it was. I stood on that circle of wood many, many times, but I never had took it literally until I was working with the Osborne brothers. And Sonny Oliver said, "You see that circle of wood up there?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Do you realize how many legendary people have stood on that same spot?" And I hadn't never thought of it like that. And, well, you're talking about a chill bump going on you, it sure puts one on you.
Yeah, that's just, there's so many stories behind that.
Hank Williams and all of them, you know, stood on that same spot.
When you say Hank Williams, it just gives you a chill to think that he stood there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I mean, he's not the only one, but you start with that name just as a way of listing them, and you think,
it was... And I never had thought of it that way until Sonny Oliver told me that. And it's like, man, that's strong, you know. It's really strong.
Oh, you know, he's...
You know, and I never had thought that the Opry would ever not have a show every weekend. You know, it went on forever since it began. And then COVID come around, and I got to thinking, what if the Opry did end, you know? And then this song came to me. I didn't write it, but Mike Waddell wrote it, and he sent it to me, and I thought, you know, that goes perfectly with what I was thinking. The echoes from the Circle of Wood, you know, that's the line that really caught my attention on it, you know.
Oh, it makes you think about all the history and all the glory behind it. And,
yes.
Of course, Sonny did it before they took it up and moved it out of the Ryman. You know, he was there.
Yes, sir.
So he's that walk in history himself. You and I both have a affection and connection to Sonny Osborne.
I love that man. He's a great man. And
I agree.
I loved working with him. It was fun.
I love him. I'd do anything for him. I tell people that all the time, and I don't mind telling to somebody that knows him. I'd do, if he called me now, I'd hang up on you, and I'd go to Nashville.
That's
exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, the 4.0 then kind of indicates, you mentioned a little bit of a change, and the 4.0, to me, everybody would think in terms of either a computer or a new program or something new. So there's some new things about this band that is now the Farmhands, some different people, some different vocals. Talk a little bit about the band that it's made up now, and I'll bring you back to some of these great songs.
Well, the band, you know, Steve, Conway Twitty said, if you don't reinvent yourself every 5 years, you start losing your audience, and that is so true. And the Farmhands have the same lineup for 9 years. Basically the same lineup for 9 years. And we'd go in the studio and I'd say, guys, let's think different. Let's go wider than what we've been doing, because all of our albums are sounding the same. They were good songs, you know, but they all sounded the same. Just a new cover is all it was. And so we had our bass player quit, and so I was able to go to a five-piece and bring in the fiddle player, and she does some of the lead singing for us, which is really, she's really a good singer. And it just gave us a whole different view of the songs. And so when we cut 4.0, it was all new, and it sounds completely different than any album that we have cut prior to this one.
It really does. There's the album's on Pinecastle. We haven't mentioned that yet. And
right.
there's 13 cuts on it, and you talked about the fiddle player and the singing. Kimberly Bibb, she has, we talked about this off the air, Tim, she has the classic country jukebox, not in a way that's demeaning, but that's what you want to hear when you hear the jukebox. She has a classic country song voice.
She sure does, and when I heard her sing, I thought, wow, what a singer. You know, she played fiddle with the Farmhands on all of our albums prior to 4.0, all the, you know, for 5 years she was playing fiddle with us. But the bass player didn't want a five-piece band, and I did, so I was able to get her in there, and I knew she could sing so well, and so I put her out there in front, let her do some lead singing, you know, because she's just that good.
Well, the album starts off with Pride, which is her voice. She also sings great He's My Rock and Salvation. She shows up a lot of places, but man, oh man, her voice is just stunning. And it's a good choice to bring her in and let her sing.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm not afraid to let somebody sing if they sing a lot better than I do. She does, so I'll leave it at that. You know?
Boy, she does. She, and I can't wait for the audience to really connect with her voice and her singing, because I think they're first going to be take a gasp. I think it's going to kind of be a gasp of, wow, who is this?
That's what we're getting, because Kimberly played country music all of her life, and then she got into playing the bluegrass stuff with me, and people are like, who is this lady? Where does she come from? You know, so it's like she's new, but she's really a well seasoned musician.
Well, she is, and thanks for that elaboration on Kimberly. Okay, so yeah, Farmhands 4.0, you got some new people, you got a little bit new sound, you've done that, you made that transition wonderfully. Who would have ever thought, Tim, and if you just tuned into Unreal Bluegrass, I'm talking to Tim Graves, Farmhands, who would have ever thought that deep into an album by the Farmhands, you're going to find a Billy Joel cover?
Yeah, that's the truth.
I mean, come on.
You know, Brian brought that one to us, our bass player, and you know, I told him, I said, guys, let's go wide on it. They did. They brought in influences from all different areas, and it worked out so well. You know, it's like, man, you know, really interesting. So.
I tell people this all the time, and it's true. I don't read any of the liner notes. I listen to the CD several times, driving usually back and forth because I still have a player there. And I heard that, and I thought, what is that? It's a tempo. The tempo's changed. Of course, it's bluegrass, but I kept thinking, I know that song, and it was Billy Joel. It's a great, we're talking about Traveling Prayer, Billy Joel, great hit. Yeah, man, I'll tell you, it cooks.
It's a good tune. That's a good ending song that we always do with, you know, now starting now. So, I mean, the Farmhands, it evolved, and I was so happy that it did, you know. I mean, what we was doing before was good, but it was just, for me, it was just getting stale, and that's just all I can say about it. It was getting stale.
Well, there's a lot of good energy. I think when you make changes, and when you make them for good reasons, and you make them with a lot of thought behind them, and the changes that you're now showing on this 4.0 album, there's a lot of new energy.
Tim,
I'm not saying that it's better than before. I'm just saying it's new, and so you have new thoughts and new input.
You know, I agree. I don't say it's better. I just say it's different than what it was, and it's a little refreshing for me. You know, for me it is. You know, because I stood there forever and played the same songs, and I get like when the song started, I'd go into this mode of just going through the motions, and I don't want to do that. You know, I want to enjoy and put my energy into it. You know, and so now I'm able to do that.
You know, I want to touch on this. We'll come back to the album, but I think the time that Tim and I talked before, a big moment was coming for you. The Spigna, you were going into a Hall of Fame. Talk about forever. You were, what, 11 times in a row Dobro Player of the Year. That's unheard
of. Right. I won it 11 times consecutively. So I got the Master Gold Award last time they had Spigna.
Man.
So it was an exciting day.
I guess so. And you deserve it. You deserve it. On the album, then, we have, speaking of great Dobro players, we have a couple tunes from Josh Graves.
Yeah. We was able to get Come Walk With Me in there, what he wrote for Wembley and Stoney. And then we done Cutting the Grass, which was by request. The guy asked me, said, man, would you please play Cutting the Grass on your next album? So I did that, and it came off pretty well.
I really enjoyed hearing Cutting the Grass. It's a perfect, if you want to hear Josh Graves, That's a perfect example, and he wrote it. It's something you, and you listen to your playing, and you're not trying to mimic him, but that's the Josh Graves sound of the people who are in that era and want to hear that sound. That's a great song, and you play it so well, and it's just really done. I haven't seen it recorded in a long, long time.
It's been a long, long time since it was recorded, and that's how come I wanted to do it again, because it's been so long since it's been heard, and people are digging it. So they're like, man, that is a great tune.
It is a great tune.
It is, and it's just, you know, you're right. I don't try to mimic Josh. He was my uncle, and he taught everybody. He taught all the dobro players, but that's just the way I play it. And it comes out sounding a lot like Josh. You know?
It has a great feel to it, and it's no question that's firmly in that bluegrass pocket, no question about
it.
And
it's
all good. It's all necessary. There's not a lot of extra fill. I think this is as great a talent as anything else to play within the song, play the song, and keep it true to where it is. And you just, it's a wonderful cut. It's a wonderful cut. We're going to talk about that later because we're going to end with that. But you, right before you and I went on the air, a train went by and it just stones out. There's a tune that I've recently played on Unreal Bluegrass. Is Trains Make Me Lonesome, and I like train songs. I think you guys do too, because it seems like you have one up. But I'm going to let you lead into us sharing that song with the audience. I'll come back and talk to you, but tell us a little bit about Trains Make Me Lonesome.
Trains Make Me Lonesome is actually was the original cut by George Strait, but if you go to YouTube and bring up George Strait's cut of it, it is completely different than what we did, and so we changed it to where it worked in bluegrass, and it's one of the most more popular songs on the album.
Well, I want to play that for the audience. I can hear birds behind you right now. That's good. I like those kind of sounds. So that's all cool for me. Let's play then from the Farmhands 4.0. I have Tim Graves on the phone, which I'm always happy to talk to Tim. And great new album. We've talked a little bit about some of the newness, some of the changes that have been made, and for the reasons that they've been made, and the effect with the vocals, and we'll come back to this. There's still a lot of great gospel music on here, but for now, let's play the song you just introduced, Tim. Trains Make Me Lonesome. We'll play that for the audience. We'll come right back to you. So listen to this, and Tim, you don't go away. I'll be right back with you.
Okay, I'll be here.
All right, there you heard. The audience just heard Trains Make Me Lonesome, which was a great train song. Tim, it's off of the 4.0 Farmhand album, and which is on Pinecastle. I want to keep reminding people of that. There is something trains. I mean, they're just part of. Now here's something, and we want to get to this. I'll talk about back in my day in a minute, but you and I probably close in age. I grew up near a train. It was always running, and the train tracks are how we went from one fishing lake to another. And I'm not making that up. That's what we did. That was our highway. And so the trains were always there, and we always heard them. We don't hear them as much anymore, and they don't play as much a factor in what we do day to day. So whereas I love a train song. You probably do, too, for all those great images. But as great a song as this is, I wonder, I was driving the other day listening to it, and I thought, I wonder how many people are going to really remember those times when the trains were on the time. Every time you knew what time it was by when the train got by, I did. And you hear the train whistle like you heard just before we went on the air. I keep hoping they remain to be a big part of the memory. This is such a great song. I hope people get to remember them.
Well, there's some things that you don't want to forget, and that's exactly what you're talking about is one of them. You know, that's memory that when I grew up in Teleco Plains, we knew when the train was coming in to pick up the wood and stuff out of Teleco and then bring it and take it back out. We knew what time it was by what time the train
exactly,
got there.
That's exactly right.
Very interesting. Very interesting, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and but that song, Trains Make Me Lonesome, it was done by, like I said, George Strait, and it was completely different. It was a complete different song. And I didn't even, to be honest with you, I did not like the way that George Strait done it. It was too, there was no energy to it for me. And I love George Strait's music. I think he's one of the best. But that song just didn't do it for me. But we got to messing with it on rehearsal one night, and we turned it to way we did it like this. And I thought, man, that's a killer tune. And it come out, it just fit perfect to what we were trying
to do. Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. Yeah. I mean, I do. I love train songs. I've said that before, and I'm repeating myself. But it's a real good one. I really appreciate the fact that people are still keeping that going. It's a great song. It's not just for the purpose of keeping the memory alive, but, man, trains were everywhere all the time. And you have to, and now they don't go as far because the end where the business is doesn't exist. So they don't go to those routes anymore. There's a lot of empty trains and a lot of empty train tracks. But, boy, that's a good one. That's a good one to help everybody remember. Let me ask you about this. I mentioned Back in My Day.
Yes.
That song there gets me also, and I'm just showing my age here, Tim.
That's an interesting song, ain't it? That's an interesting song.
It is. Yeah. There's so many things in that lyric and that song. It's a great song. It's great music. That, you know, almost all of them, if I could click off almost everything in that song that was in my life as a child.
Yep, that's Roger King sent that to me. He's in Arkansas, a good friend of mine. He's a left-handed dobro player. And he said, Tim, what do you think about this? And he sent it to me. I said, man, I got to cut that. It was just, it was like you said, everything that that was in there, I grew up knowing about, you know?
Yeah.
And that was just that's always been a signature of the Farmhand to do songs that, you know, take you back to your childhood and stuff
They do, and some of the references in the song, and it's done so well.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and, you know, like Pledge of Allegiance in the morning when you go to school. We had recess. The teacher in the morning would read from the Bible. We'd have recess, come back in. They might read another thing or a book or something. And I remember the day in the first grade when that ended. I remember when the Supreme Court wasn't thinking about being a lawyer then. I remember when the Supreme Court, my first grade teacher was so mad. She was no longer allowed to read, you know, just a couple verses from the Bible as we started the day. That's what we always did. Boy, she was madder than a wet hornet.
So I guess today they don't even do a pledge, do they?
I don't know that. That's a good question.
Maybe some of the private schools, but I don't think the public school does. I don't think they do.
Yeah, that's a good. You know, I don't know the answer to that, but all those things that I remember that you remembered, and that's a great song. And I'm glad you chose that one.
It came off pretty well. It was the writer. I had to change just a couple little things in it, you know, to make it fit what we do, and it worked out real well. So it was it came off as. As good as I was hoping it did, you know.
It's really good. Very solid. Listen, the Farmhands, anybody that knows them knows that you're always going to have some nice gospel and tunes. And on this album, I'm looking at, Traveling Prayer isn't really, although prayer's in the Word. We talked about that from Billy Joel, but I Want to Be Saved. He's My Rock and Salvation. There's a lot of great tunes that you still put that message that you've always carried, that the Farmhands have always carried. And it's just a great. Tell me a little bit about fitting those songs into this album. And I don't think it's a tradition that you're ever going to leave. That's not the suggestion at all. But you have that.
You know, the song I Wanted to Be Saved was written by a 9-year-old boy, and he was going to school one morning, going to church one morning, didn't have nothing to sing, so he sat down and wrote this song. And I remembered that song all my life. It was my brother Ted that writes a lot of stuff for us, but he wrote that song, and so when I'm going to record it. I said, Ted, send me the words. So he said, well, I'm going to rewrite it. He said, because I wrote it when I was 9 years old. So he rewrote it, and I didn't like it. So I said, go back to the original. So he went back to the original version that he wrote at 9 years old, and that's what we recorded.
Well, so. I saw that name Ted, and I was going to ask you about that. You answered that question for me. 9 years old. It's a gorgeous song. It has a great message to it. So there's Ted Graves. As I look through the credits, and we also have... Brian Graves.
Yep, Brian is Uncle Josh's youngest son. He's on the bass.
Yeah, bass and sings a little with you. And let's talk about the rest of the band that we talked about. Kimberly, a little bit. Kelsey Cruz wrote a song.
Green River Ferry Boat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a good tune.
So he's banjo. You have him listed as mandolin, lead, and harmony. And then David Mansfield the III.
Yeah, he's the one that sung Trains Make Me Lonesome. He's 23 years old, but you wouldn't to hear him. He's an old soul at 23 years old. He's like an old man, but he thinks real deep when it comes to music like that. You know, he can play anything he puts in front of him. It's crazy how good he can play.
I'm looking at the picture inside. You're probably not, but is he the guy over your left shoulder wearing a vest in the photograph?
He is. Yep.
Okay.
Now the other is Kimberly. Kelsey, then me, then David, and Brian.
Yeah, okay.
Brian's low with all the hair.
Okay. Yeah, he looks a little heavy. He looks a little heavy metal there, a little bit.
Yeah, well, he is. He's a rocker. But the funny thing about this whole situation, a month before Uncle Josh died, he called me to the house. He said, "I want to talk to you, kid." He called me kid, and he we talked about all kind of things. And before I left, he said, "I want you and Brian to work together."
Oh,
I said, "Oh, I said, how will that work?" I said, "He plays rock music. I play bluegrass." He said, "Trust me, it'll work." And it does. And it does. You know, I thought, wow. You know, and it does.
That's cool. That's funny. I looked out and I thought, well, it's like that Sesame. One of these things is different than the others, which it, one of these things doesn't belong. And I thought, that guy. But now you've explained it. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So, you know, that was just a request of Uncle Josh. And again, he was right and I was wrong because I never thought it would have worked, but it does.
He was listening to those smart guys. They knew.
They did, those though. Guys they were intelligent.
Yeah, they knew. I'm assuming that you have a lot of... you're getting back on the road. I figure the farmhands are getting back on the road, and here's the reason I bring that up is I assume that there's a website that will let people find this new album 4.0 on Pinecastle and also find out about what your touring schedule to the extent that it's developed so far.
Yeah, they can go to farmhandsmusic.com.
Okay.
That's www.farmhandsmusic.com, and that's our new website.
Okay.
It's got our new album on there and our schedules there and everything.
All right, good. Now, listen, and this will lead us up to, we've talked about Josh. We've talked mm-hmm. about his influence on with Connecting Brian. And we've talked about another song that he wrote. And then I want you to lead into this last cut that we're going to hear for the audience while you're involved. And I'll say goodbye to you as you tell me a little bit about Cutting the Grass. We mentioned a little bit earlier, but let's get back into Cutting the Grass. And I want you to introduce it as you would want everyone to think about it.
Cutting the Grass is a song that Uncle Josh wrote when he was with Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs. And it's a classic dobro number, and a friend of mine wanted me to cut it on the new album. And so we did, and I tried to play it like Josh cut it, and I think it came off pretty well. It's a wonderful number, Cutting Grass.
It's great. It's a great tempo. I would think a lot of people, I can't really think of people sitting around playing it, but I would think after you get this out there, it may find its way back into parking lots and campsites.
Good possibility. It's you know, you can play that song too fast, but when you get it too fast, you'll never get those slants like that.
You're right.
it'll never happen. You know,
well, you do it justice, and I'm glad that you did it for the album. It's such a great album. There's so many. We could go on forever about all these different tunes. The Missing You is a slower tempo. And they also got a vocal. I got a note here. There's also Kim singing on that one too. Okay.
Yeah, she's Pride and Missing You went number one overseas. We put it on a compilation.
Oh, good, good.
And it obviously both those went number one. So, you know, it's just she's just got an incredible voice and she's just an incredible talent. You know,
it is. She does, and it is. It's a striking voice. When I put this in the CD player, Pride comes on. I thought, well, what is, who is, you know, I'm thinking, is this, yeah, is this like a 60s country? I kept thinking, well, I haven't heard a voice like this, that genuine. Now, people can try that. But that's her.
When I heard her, I thought, you know, when you can take a song like Pride that went number four for Ray Price, and when she sung it for me, I said, I've never heard that song done like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she made it her song. And so it went number one overseas, just big time, you know, so. She does well on it.
Well, thank you, Tim Graves, for spending some time on Unreal Bluegrass. Thank you guys for the great album, Farmhands 4.0. And I'm just excited as heck for what you're doing now in the new album. And wish you the best. I'll catch you somewhere down the road. Maybe I'll run into you coming and going as we go in and chat with Sonny for a while. That could happen. You never know.
I hope so. That'd be great. Maybe we'd all go out and eat about. Well, I don't know about if he can get out. We'll
go see him and chat with him again. So, all right, Tim, I'm going to play then. I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to play for the audience of Unreal Bluegrass. Cutting the Grass, great cut. That's no pun intended. It's a great cut on the album. It's great dobro stuff. It's got a lot of history to it. Everything on this album is just, you must be so happy. I can tell in your voice that you're really thrilled with the sound and the energy that's coming off of this.
Well, I am, Steve, because, you know, that's what I tried to keep getting my other guys to do. And I say, come on, guys, let's go wider. But they just, you know, when you use the same pickers on the same same everything, you just can't do no more. You're just doing the best you can do.
Yeah.
And it was time for change, and the change made me refresh and think different than what I used to.
Well, in the same vein, and I am going to let you go, I promise, the Osborne Brothers, look at all the personnel changes they had, the things they did, the changes, and the piano.
He told me the same thing. He said, Tim, you have to change, man. He said, always, because if you don't, you get stale.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
You do.
You're right. Tim Graves, man, it's been a blast. I can't wait to see you. I'm gonna for the audience, I'll let you go, and I'll play Cutting the Grass off of 4.0. It's been a blast, and such a great album. Congratulations to you and everybody in the band.
I appreciate it, Steve. Thanks so much.
All right, I'll see you later. And this is Cutting the Grass for the audience. I'll talk to you. Bye.
See you, Steve. Bye.